This is Don't Panic, episode number 406, recorded October 14th, 20. Hello, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Don't Panic, the podcast on gadgets, internet, and you. I'm Sean Jennings, joined by two guys who are ready for sweater weather. It's Colby Rabideau and Dan Miller. Good evening, gentlemen.
Hello, Sean.
Good evening, but I'm the only one wearing a sweater, so what's up with that?
I got long sleeve on. This is my, like, house long sleeve. Colby's in balmy Boston, you know? He's in short sleeves.
I feel like it's warmer today than it has been the last couple days.
It's going to be like 70 on Sunday, so...
Ugh. I put away my shorts. What the hell?
Bust them out, buddy.
Can't deal. I just can't deal. How was your nor'easter, Sean? Dan. You don't get those anymore. It's exclusive.
A west easter. they call that a typhoon. I won't get too much into the meteorology of it. I live in the triangle of weather sadness. As Dave Haynes, the weather nut, who is my local weather enthusiast I follow, and he's very good. But I'm in the triangle of weather sadness because there's this triangle, and you can see it on a map, that starts in very northern Connecticut and comes up around the Springfield area. And for some reason of the topography or whatever, we just don't get as much weather as everywhere around the triangle. Like, you've ever seen one of those, like, snow depth maps of like, oh, how many inches is everybody? There's always like a little circle there of like, oh, they're actually only getting a dusting, but everyone else is getting a foot. And I live smack in the middle of the triangle of weather set. So I never get that much snow. I never get that much rain. So the nor'easter was not very exciting. I wasn't pounded on as bad as some of the outlying areas. So disappointing here. I know you're basically on the shore, Colby. So, you know.
Yeah, the windows in my apartment face east, so it's and we're at like the top corner of the building, so this particular flavor of storm is like, you know, rain smacking against the windows for 2 days. But it's also kind of nice because it makes a nice breeze. Like, you just have to crack the window a tiny bit and you get a nice breeze through the whole
Boston
apartment.
Is a breezy city, I will say. Yeah. I was there for a certain somebody's wedding in the winter and nearly got blown away a few times.
That was extremely cold.
Yes. Yes, it was. But fun, nonetheless. What else is good, gentlemen? It's been a little while since we've been here.
Our house project continues. There are walls. It's connected to electricity, which was the possibly the biggest accomplishment of this whole project, was connecting the house to electricity. Yeah. We have been trying to pick paint colors. So we have like 40 giant paint stickers in the apartment.
Boy, that is tough.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also kind of futile because it looks totally different, like in the actual in the actual house. But I mean, we can bring them there.
Well, I'll give you a small piece of advice, which is what happened with my house. Was I had two rooms. I was kind of unsure of the paint color, and I thought to myself, if I don't like it, I'll just repaint it. It's been 5 years. I've hated it for 5 years. I still haven't repainted it, so no pressure. But it's one of those things where it's better to get it right the first time than have to go back.
Yeah, we're definitely putting in the time. We'll see. We'll see if it's going to come out well or not.
Did we lose Sean?
I'm going to
keep
again?
Talking because I think it's still recording on my end.
I was going to say the thing that I didn't realize.
Am I back?
Oh, he's back.
Yeah, you guys are just going to have to pretend like I'm here the whole time. Because it seems like it's going to keep coming in and out. And by the way, I believe it's still recording on my end when the internet goes out. So, you know.
So we're going to be talking over each other.
Basically. Yeah, I'll just pretend like you're here. Wow, thanks for the compliment, Colby. That's great. Congratulations. That's very exciting.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, there's still plenty of time for something to go terribly wrong. The septic system is happening soon, and that's the thing I'm most worried about for no no particular reason.
Is this connected to a sewer?
No, it's freestanding. We're off the sewer grid.
Well, that's easier in a sense. I wouldn't be worried now.
That's true. That's true. There's just a lot of there's a swamp nearby. So there's like things, there's like contractual obligations and permits and things that have to be followed. But I'm sure it'll be fine. They
if
do
only
this
you knew
time.
Someone who was well-versed in
we,
the...
We have an on-site supervisor for the duration of the project, so...
Make sure that all the wetlands remain protected.
Yes. It's a big deal. But yeah, we'll see. I'll keep it posted.
I don't have any house updates for once, I think. The Mitsubishi people still have not come to deliver my firmware update. Which I think we talked about last time.
Was that for your air conditioner?
Pump. Oh yeah. But yes, it's only broken in air conditioning mode.
Right.
But now in heat mode, it works just fine. It does not turn off. However, it was way too powerful, and this is like so dumb. But I call up the guy who installed it, who's extremely nice. And you know, I imagine, and Sean, I think you probably know the most about this. A lot of installers, they're not in the business of ongoing customer support or technical support. They want to get in, get out.
Yeah.
This guy is great. And he walked me through how to adjust the fan setting, which was the most insane thing I've ever done. It was like, literally just rip your thermostat off the wall. There's no good way to do it. You just rip it off, turn it around, read me those two numbers. Okay, now do like a bit mask, Colby. Add 1, 2, 3, 4 to each of those numbers. And now hold down the menu button, type in that password, air quotes, and then you get, and this is like a stupid LCD. What do you call it where it's like, it just lights up different parts of the screen with different graphics. And one of those things. It's not like fully digital. Mm. And so there's a carousel of 20 odd. It'll be like FN01, FN02, FN03. And what you need to do is then open up the manual, see which setting you want to change. And those settings correspond to many of those functions. So if you want to set the fan to medium, it'll be like set 8 to 1 and 10 to 3. Skip 9 for some reason. The fan speed never touched 9. It was only 8 and 10. But it made no logical sense either. It'd be like, oh, if 8 is on 1 and 10 is on 3 and you want to go down, you want to make it a little less powerful, we'll now go back to 8, set it to 3, and now set 10 to 5. It's like, what? it's like, you tell
like
it.
Like it's just all bit masking all the way down. It's like you're programming an assembly or something.
Yeah, it's crazy. Anyways, that was my only house update. It worked.
Yeah.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, I'm at the end of my project, so I don't have a house update of note here, at least not for the time being. I will say I'm going to be hopefully in the next month or two embarking on a new home project, which is, it's minor, but it's electronics focused, which is the room right next to me, which is my guest room. I'm getting rid of the bed because I don't ever have guests, and it's going to become a man cave. I'm going to put three TVs.
Hang on,
up
if
on-
Colby or I visit, yeah. Are you going to make us sleep in your bed and you're going to sleep on the floor again? Is that
Absolutely.
What's going to happen?
That's just called being a good host. That's just being polite. Of course I would. I'd sleep on the floor. You kidding me?
All right. Tell us about this man cave.
Three TVs on the wall. And I'm going to interconnect them with a couple of HDMI switchers. And so I'll be able to send one master remote that can send a mix of different inputs to a mix of different TVs. And so if I like, and then a sound bar that will, I can independently choose which TV I want to hear.
Wow.
And then the long-term goal is I'm going to get a very cushy, like, cinema, like, recliner chair. And then eventually what I want to do is I want to hook up all the podcast stuff in there. the camera, the microphone, yes, and podcast from in there.
And you'll just do it from the recliner.
Exactly. Exactly. But
you have different
kind of
camera angles, so you can like...
Oh, I'm going to go... there's going to be like cuts, shelves with props on the wall behind me, and it's going to... It's some LED lighting. It's going to be slick, so I am I am excited.
Now, why don't you have three sound bars, one for each of the TVs?
Well, because I can't listen to all three at once. I mean, I guess I could. That would be crazy.
What's that ESPN show where everyone talks over each other? You could be like that just all the time.
Shouting.
Sports shouting. Yes. No, I, believe it or not, right now in my bedroom where I watch TV, I have two televisions in there. I had a spare, and so I threw it up. So I'll have like football on one and baseball on the other, and one will be muted. And if one gets interesting, I'll flip to the other. So I'm going to create, you know, like a whole multi-screen setup. It's going to be dope. So hopefully in the next month, I'll get started on that. I got to get the chair first, but it should be fun.
Sounds epic.
And I will say next week, I'm in Las Vegas.
Ooh.
It's my annual trip to Dexpo, the Deck Expo, as regular viewers would know.
How do you spell that?
It is Deck Expo. Dexpo is not the real name. I think we've made that.
Oh, come on.
Every year we make that joke on this show. I think you specifically do, Dan. And you say, oh, let's call it Dexpo. And so, which is fair. I don't disagree.
Is this the Pool Spa Patio Expo?
It is part of Pool and Spa. Pool and Spa is like 75% of the show. And then 25% is Deck Expo. So it doesn't, because actually there's not as much crossover as you would think. But it is fun because I get to walk around and look at the guys selling hot tubs and saunas and all kinds of stuff. So that should be a grand old time. We're doing an event at... You guys ever go to Topgolf?
I haven't been. I've heard of Topgolf.
The video game golf thing?
Yeah, sort of. So it's basically a driving range, you know, where you hit the balls as far as you can. But the balls all have unique chips in them. And so you register it to like your name. So it's kind of like electronic bowling almost in a way, where they know what you score. When you hit the ball, because of the chip in it, they know how far it went. And there's even like big targets. And if you land
it
in the target,
it actually flies. It's not like...
It's a real like giant 400-yard green. And so you can actually score it as you're hitting them in real time. It's pretty cool.
I was at a driving range a couple weeks, months ago for the first time in many years, in 20 something years. And, the crazy thing that came back to me immediately was the armored car that's going around sucking up the golf balls.
Fun to hit. You got to aim right for that guy. He knows it's coming.
Yeah. And as I was looking at it, I was like, either the person driving this is a terrible driver, or some people have scored some serious hits on this thing because it's like dented up and stuff.
Yeah, it's policy. You have to target the guy.
That's crazy.
Is the guy just out there constantly, like the whole time?
No, but we were only there for 2 hours, I think. He was out there multiple times. So every 30 minutes, I would guess.
I mean, it's the same reason everyone cheers when the Zamboni goes out on the ice. It's kind of the same idea.
This one had a cool setup, though, that I'd never seen, but I imagine Topgolf has this. They had each stall had a... maybe it wasn't each stall. There were golf ball vending machines, basically, where you could go and get more golf balls. But those vending machines are automatically refilled by some tube system from above. Where presumably they get sucked out of the armored golf cart and then they get redeposited back into the thing. It was pretty cool. And I was thinking while I was there, I was like, speaking of trade shows, who makes the armored golf cars? Is this just like each driving range has to mod their own? Or is there some company out there that makes them? And who makes the pneumatic golf ball return? Because it's like, there's a lot of driving ranges out there, but you know... You're not going to be the next Google doing that, but somebody's got to do it.
All right.
All right. Well, here you go. From our friends at Thrasher Golf, it's called a golf ball picker.
Golf ball picker.
Now, they've been in production for more than 40 years. They're made in the USA. Here is the... Oh, no, you attach it to your golf cart. So I don't know if you can, if you have to module golf cart, but the part in front of it that sucks up the golf balls costs $5,300.
That's not bad.
Oh my God, they have a walking version. Could you imagine putting somebody in like one of those like bear-proof suits?
It's got to be, Oh, man.
I feel like you should be able to pay extra for that. Like,
or the Ned Kelly armor from Australia. Are you familiar with this? This might just be
not
Australian.
No, but this sounds very Dan-coded.
Dan-coded.
Let me find it.
They have golf ball washers, too.
What an industry. I put a link in Slack to the actual golf cart with the caging on it.
And I put a link in Slack to the recreation of actual real-life Australian Ned Kelly's suit of armor that he used when he took over a bank and had a shootout with the whatever the Australian police are in the 1800s.
What do you think happens when you throw a boomerang at that thing? I would definitely hit golf balls at that for sure.
Yeah.
Wow, this is not as armored as I was picturing.
I mean, it looks effective.
You still got to be able to move in it.
That's true. That is the trade-off with,
Well, I think it would be pretty easy to just aim below the knees, but I'm not a professional shot, so what would I know?
If you're in a shootout, is this image implying that the boots are armored? Hang on a second.
They're sneakers.
This one. This is the real one. No, that looks like leather to me.
All right. Wild.
If you're ever in Australia, you should go check it out.
Will do. That's a hot tip.
Did he successfully rob the bank?
No.
Oh.
But he is sort of a Australian folk hero, which is kind of strange.
Huh. Was he robbing the bank for, good?
No, I don't think so.
The gun would indicate no.
They just respected the effort.
It says he was an Australian bush ranger, gang leader, and police murderer, which I've never heard anyone describe that way as like
police.
Dan was a father, a colleague, and a police murderer. That's interesting.
What a guy.
Can't say you didn't learn anything here.
No, I learned so much. I gotta read more about this later.
It's a good Wikipedia article.
It's so long.
Yeah.
There's a lot of pictures. There's a lot of pictures, too. That's how you know a really good Wikipedia article, the photography.
Well, gentlemen, in terms of our main topic tonight, we want to talk a little bit about this little thing called artificial intelligence. Maybe you've heard of it. It's making the rounds these days, popular with the young people. I'm curious, because we obviously talked about AI here before, but it's been a while. Are we using AI in our daily lives? Where are we participating in the AI ecosystem? Where is it leached into our lives against our will?
Does Siri count?
No, actually, very specifically, it doesn't. So,
no.
I haven't been using it. It personally, much more, because in our last episode, I used it to make the graph of iPhone thicknesses over time. Mm-hmm. I think that was the last cool thing I used for outside of work.
I've used it for a bunch of house stuff where you can upload documents to a workspace and then you can talk to the AI in context of the workspace. I've done that a bunch, which I thought was helpful. I feel like I mostly use AI for things I would have used Google for in the past, but it can be nice because you can create like a mini Google that only knows about stuff that you give it, right? Like a bunch of 50 pages of PDFs from
plus the entire internet project from 1990 to 2023. But
right,
yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've really only used it as for deep search. Like give me a report on X. I'm trying to think of some examples of what I did.
I do that sometimes, you're right.
You know, where I know I could spend like 30 minutes Googling something.
Maybe Sean should ask for a report on why his internet is so slow.
All right. You know what? These guys are not very nice.
Yeah, I asked it to list the most successful European tech companies. That was a deep research thing I ran.
Mm-mm.
And then I was like, whatever happened? Like, you never hear about Spotify, early Spotify employees besides the CEO guy. Whatever happened to them? And it didn't really have any answers for me, which was sad.
That is sad.
I did use it. So I used it to make, I was, our big trade show of the year, the International Builder Show, is happening this February in Orlando. And I haven't done a show in Orlando before. So I gave them a list of the hotels we could choose from. The show sends you like 20 hotels and you pick one. And I had it generate a map for me where using Google Maps, they told me how to do it, but they generated a CSV file that not only had the location and the price, but I also had it scrape TripAdvisor for the star rating. And they appended it to the map with, and I was then able to check the boxes and filter to just certain. It was actually very helpful and would have taken me much longer.
So you can like upload a CSV like that to Google Maps? Is that the?
Yes, it's called Google My Maps, and you can make your own maps. It's a standard feature, and you can import a CSV. It was great.
That's cool.
Kind of inspired by my iPhone thickness thing, I asked it to make a graph of Donkey Kong video game releases against Call of Duty video game releases, and it is extremely stark.
That's funny.
Did you know that there has only been 1 year since 2003 that didn't have a Call of Duty, and that was 2004?
And nothing's been good since.
Just last year? Wow.
By the time they got to Black Ops 7, I think they were kind of...
That's what inspired me. I was like, how the hell, what timeline are we on? Black Ops 7.
Is that the new one?
Yes, apparently. You should never be able to get to 7.
Now, Dan, are you a Claude guy?
I'm a Claude guy, yeah.
Okay, because I've been a ChatGPT guy. Should I try Claude?
Sean's thinking.
Oh, he thought too hard. Oh, no.
And you know what? I know what's going to happen is at the end of the show, because I don't want to screw with anything now. At the end of the show, I'm going to investigate why this is happening. It's going to be some super stupid reason that I did something to, you know, I'm downloading some huge file in the background or something. I guarantee that's going to be the case. No, what I was going to say is I haven't done Claude, Dan. Should I consider switching from ChatGPT?
I think for most people, they mostly have the same stuff. I think ChatGPT usually comes out with some new paradigm and then Claude adds it. I find Claude's answers a bit better.
Interesting. Yeah, I may have to do that. I really don't use it that much, to be honest, but
yeah. Have you tried any of the, like, you can connect your Google Calendar to ChatGPT and then it will, like, around.
No, I have not. No, but neither. I have been finding there was something calendar related I wanted to do recently. And I have been finding myself maybe being more interested in integrations like that, because like the thing I did last summer where and this was still one of my favorite AI things I did. I copy pasted, and now you could probably just tell it to go there. The Seattle Parks and Rec website describing in prose when the open swims are, and asked it to create an ICS file so that I could import it into my calendar and see visually when the swims are, and it worked great. But it would be nice to maybe actually integrate with it. It is a little terrifying.
I will. I'll tell you a real life AI story. So, let's see, what's the shortest way to tell this? We had an event at my company where they brought in Hall of Fame women's basketball player Ann Myers Drysdale to give a speech. And our corporate parent asked me, hey, can you like get somebody to give us a quote for our newsletter when she came for the visit? I did not give a shit. I didn't want to do it. Not a good use of my time. I said, this is perfect for AI. So I go in there and I say, hey, write a quote like an average person said it about this event. And it wrote like the most cheesy generic I found it. It was at the Basketball Hall of Fame. Being at the Basketball Hall of Fame made the whole thing feel special. You're surrounded by all this history and big moments from the game. Hearing Ann Myers Drysdale talk in that setting made her story even more inspiring. She's been through so much and achieved so much, and it really makes you think about what's possible if you work hard and believe in yourself. Stupid quote, right? So I send it to them, and I say, here's your quote. All right, great. A month later, the newsletter lands in my mailbox. I open it. That quote's in it. If you believe what's possible, if you work hard and believe in yourself, said Sean Jennings, senior marketing manager. I'm like, no, everyone's going to think I suck. No, it wasn't supposed to be for me. I didn't say that. The computer said it. I was so
mad. Did you attribute it to anyone?
Well, you know, in hindsight, they didn't email me back and say, who should we attribute this to? So I guess it is my fault. No, I just sent the quote. Because nobody said it. The computer said, I should have said ChatGPT. So funny. So now I got to be careful about attributing these smart writing.
Sean, have you deployed any, do you use any auto editing things for any of the podcast content?
Yes, actually. That's one of the things I love about Riverside. I was saying to somebody the other day about how much more difficult it was 12 years ago when we started this, but Riverside, now you can actually edit by just chatting into it, which I haven't tried because our shows are perfect. I wouldn't cut anything, but I do use it to remove silences and level out the audio and mix, like when it switches cameras, like when it's full versus in the corner kind of stuff. Yeah, no, it's so much faster and easier. But I'm going to have to try the we're going to have to say something inappropriate that we want cut. If you guys wouldn't mind, and then I can come back and say, oh, search for that time Colby, you know, said those slurs and remove them. And then it'll just do it, you know, whenever you're ready. I haven't. But yes, it has been helpful doing that.
I'm trying to think of something I would never say.
Well, now with AI, Colby, I can make your voice say it. So I don't even need you to do it. That's the beauty. I am getting a lot more. I will say, I'm like my Instagram reels. I'm getting a lot more fake videos, and it's driving me crazy. Where it's like, you know, the dog grabs the baby out of the burning building, and you're like, oh, this sucks.
They're gonna have to change the name to Instagram Fakes.
Boom! There's your episode title, Instagram Fakes. I ain't cutting that. That's genius.
Have you guys tried did you try the OpenAI, like, all fake news social network thing?
I did, actually. I signed up for like 5 minutes because I'm a plus subscriber through work, so they gave me like early access to it. And it was gibberish. It was total gibberish. There wasn't even any, like, I couldn't comprehend the shapes and images of what I was seeing because it was just gibberish. It was crazy.
I didn't have an invite, so I couldn't sign up. Though
I can send you an invite code.
It seems like you don't need them anymore. It's just, I opened it just now and it's it.
I think it's because nobody's using it. Because it's like, they kind of turned it into a social network. And it's like, but only for fake videos. And I'm like, that's exactly what I don't want.
Well, isn't the allegedly isn't the OpenAI Sora thing being an extremely successful social network for fake videos? I have not downloaded it or used it, but this is what I've heard.
I don't know what the usage rates are. In theory, I mean, if your goal is to have a social network to share fake videos you make, it seemed very successful when I was trying it because there were a lot of fake videos and you could easily scroll through them and see them, and it was very easy to post a video. But again, I don't know how many people are actively on there.
I don't know. I'm not.
No.
Okay, Sean, are you ready to vibe code?
All right. You know what, Dan? You're very excited about this. You're setting me up. All right. So I have not done any kind of AI coding before. Let me be clear. I have not tried it. I don't know anything about it. Dan would like me to give this a shot. So explain to me what's going on here, Dan. Talk to me like I'm a moron.
That's right. I would.
I gotta go. Sorry, I gotta go. We can't cut it off. Oh, Lord.
I'm excited to have Fios at the new house.
Hang on.
That's
this episode brought to you by Verizon Fios.
This is, listen, man, if you know anyone at Xfinity, let me know. I could use a hookup because, but it's my computer. Here's the other thing. I have, by the way, not that I'm distracted, but I have the baseball playoffs streaming right next to me on an iPad and it hasn't buffered once. So it's definitely the computer.
Could be your uploads.
That's it. You know what? It could be. I'm going to do, like I said, I'm going to do a bunch of tests and stuff and I will report back with my findings. But there's definitely something on the computer that's wrong. Anyway, Dan, you're Taskmaster. What's my task here? What's going on?
Go to lovable.dev and create an account.
Okay. Do I have to?
Actually, you might not even need to create an account. I don't know.
I don't have an account. I'll tell you that. All right, let's go. I'll just authorize through Google. All right. I have.
Maybe share your screen for the.
How did I hear about us? Friend. What will I be using it for? For my company. This is a company. What describes you best? Founder. What are you building with Lovable? Side projects. I invite collaborators? I'm going to skip. I wouldn't dare drag you into this.
Sean's going to skip that.
Okay.
Skip it. Have you used Lovable, Dan?
No, not really. I don't think I've used it at all.
All right, let me share my screen.
I signed up for it once. Great.
I mean, I should be telling us to use Figma Make, but it's not free, I don't think.
Darn.
Okay, can you guys see that?
Heck yes.
Beautiful. Yeah. Okay. All right, so we're creating...
All right, so Sean, your task is to create a new version of the Don't Panic website.
Dan, the current one is so good.
Yeah, but it's going to get shut down in 3 weeks because some Facebook thing's changing. So we're just going to start over again like we always do.
All right.
It's just part of the process. Burn it to the ground.
For my podcast to replace my current site. Send. Okay, it's thinking.
It is thinking.
This is encouraging.
It's interesting.
Do you think it'll invent a podcast for us?
When I did this with Figma Make, it didn't, but it'll be interesting to see.
All right. So it says, I'll create a modern...
It's interesting that Sean, because like Sean's already using it very differently than I would use it. He didn't tell it anything about how to do it. And I'm curious if it'll ask any follow-up questions.
No, I just said that. One sentence is... Well, here we go. I'll create a modern, engaging podcast website for you. Let me outline the design approach. Design inspiration. Professional podcast sites like NPR shows, Spotify originals. Clean, content-focused with bold typography and audio wave-inspired gradients. Features for version one. Hero section with branding. Latest episodes showcase with artwork. An about section. Platform subscribe buttons. Responsive mobile-first design. Design system. Colors. Deep purple-blue gradient. Well, that's not our colors, so we got to update that. Typography, bold headings, clean body text, fine gradients, animations, modern car designs. Let me build
and
this.
And we have to make sure that it implements This Week in Pixtory, our one most differentiating feature.
Well, what's interesting, though, is I'm assuming, Colby, I don't know anything about this, on the back of our website, there's a database of all of our episodes. So we've got to figure out how to get that data into this.
That's true. We might just be able to slurp it in. Maybe it can... Right, scrape our RSS feed.
And by the way, this it's building, by the way, for anyone listening. It is built. Oh, it says it's ready. Well, okay. Guys, is this your
show
job?
Me the money.
Like, are you kidding me? Like, what do you guys do all day? All right.
Nothing anymore. Just
look
type into AI.
Your podcast name. Wow. Latest episodes about the show. Listen, it's guys, this is pretty darn impressive. So it says, your website is ready. Here's what I built. A design, a rich purple-pink gradient theme. We got to fix that. Smooth animations, custom gradient button, dark background.
Colby, which of these tools do you use at work? Are you permitted to say? Which would you use at work?
I don't know. I assume we're permitted to say. We basically have like one of everything. There's like ChattyG, and then we have a Claude Code that routinely yells at me for using too much using too many tokens.
Does it yell at you? By the way, you need to watch the YouTube video later that I put in the Slack.
It doesn't yell at me, but it does occasionally send you a message like, you've spent like $9 in the last 20 minutes. It's like, I don't know why I did that this time, but I was told that I have to use this.
Oh, were you told that?
No, I haven't been told that I have to use it, but it has been strongly suggested that we get on the AI train.
And were you using it before it was strongly suggested?
Yes, I was. I was. Okay. Actually, I was, but I think that was before they got us a Claude Code subscription too. Like that was like it was like just for Cursor, which I've stopped using Cursor because it doesn't work. Because our the web project at work is too big, and so TypeScript is extremely slow. And Cursor has a habit of doing.
Well, work are complaining about this too. Yeah,
right. Cursor does too much TypeScripting, and then all of a sudden, all 60 gigs of RAM on your computer are full, and nothing works. That's not ideal.
So Sean told it to update the color scheme.
Yeah. So okay. Well, it. All right.
I wow.
What it's doing. Yeah. I told it the name and the website, and now it's. Oh, they did scrape the latest episode. Real, all the episodes.
Wow.
Well, some of them. Well, this one's from 2018 and 2021, so I don't know why they're doing that. But they did scrape the from.
And I wonder if those are
real links.
I wonder those if are those the are links. The.
This week in history,
right.
And it didn't. Oh no, they're already asking me to pay, guys. This might be short lived. All right.
I guess we got to use our credit. Well, how many credits have we used so far?
I don't know.
Is that 1.1 or 110?
No, it's 1.10 free credits remaining today.
I don't know. This wacky sunburst don't panic logo is kind of speaking to me.
Yes, and it's asymmetrical. Am I seeing that correctly?
Yeah, it's crooked. It probably got up from "Don't Panic, It's Organic."
That's probably true.
Our arch nemesis,
rivals. That's right. So I asked, "Can you pull our logo files and apply them?" And then I said, "Can you also import past episodes with descriptions?" And it said it downloaded the logo.
Two tools used. What tools did it use?
Can you click show all?
It says it read more and it searched the website. Now let me get more episodes to have a good selection. Okay.
What's your impression so far, Sean?
I mean, it seems easy. It seems easy, but I knew it was probably going to do this well. Like, I'm not surprised it's doing what it's doing. I mean, I'm not asking it to do anything too crazy quite yet. What I don't understand is, like, how do you make it a website?
Hmm. Well,
I see a publish button.
What if you click that little code button on the top next to the preview? Yeah.
Whoa.
Holy
what is all
smokes.
This? The hell's this? There's all this gibberish.
It's all our episodes.
Well, three of them.
Yeah, I was about to say,
some of our episodes. Look, it's episodes.
That's crazy.
I love import episode one from. Wow.
Now it says I see duplicate imports. Perfectly. I've updated your website. Let's see how they look. No, that's not our logo. That's somebody else's logo. And we have 8 recent episodes.
That's
403, 402, 400. View all episodes. What happens if I click that? Okay, it doesn't do anything.
What if you click on one of the episodes?
It doesn't do anything.
The Johnny Mnemonic of Screws. Okay. That's a great episode title. Doesn't do anything. Oh, man.
No. Listen to this. No, none of them do anything. Great. All right.
Okay. Well,
we're out of free credits.
Can we publish
for
it?
For today.
Publish it.
Publish. Oh, they'll set it up for me.
Do a Don't Panic version 7.
Should I hit review security?
Ooh, that sounds good.
Security.
Wow.
No, I can't. I can't.
Oh.
Oh, it says free.
Update free. What does that mean?
Oh. But it's free. Security scan.
Scan security.
I'll perform a comprehensive security review of your website. This is great. What's our certificate?
Look, searching for password secret.
Now I'm nervous. There's some like loose passwords floating around in the Don't Panic source code.
This is great, but you know this is really the key AI problem because I've got people at my work who are like trying to make apps and stuff in AI, and they use Lovable and things.
Really?
I don't have any creative ideas. Like everything I want kind of already exists. There's nothing where I'm like, boy, if I could build my own blank, And that's, I feel dumb because everyone else is like, yeah, we built this new way to present our project timelines and it's an app and we can customize it to, and I'm like, okay, well, you didn't really need to do that.
I think it's like, what's going well? Your website does absolutely nothing. So there's nothing to be broken about
literally?
It.
Literally? All right. I'm
all right,
hit.
Publish it, Sean.
No, I want to change the slug here. We're going to go with don't panic V7. Publish. Oh, boy. We're in suspense here. It's cooking.
I was holding my breath.
Oh,
what would you do next if you had more tokens?
What would I do next? I would, I'd probably like upload the logo and graphic files and update that. I would talk to it and figure out how to get it to import all of the episodes. Because the other problem with our, it's not a problem. The other problem with Colby's website, the current one, is it's also like the RSS host and like the actual file host. So truly, if like Colby exploded and didn't exist anymore, a tragic day for America. Flags at half mast. It would be devastating.
That's true.
But once I got past that,
Once you
it'd take like a day or two and then I'd be past it. And Dave did literal spit take, how fun.
Yep.
I'd move all the MP3s to a like storage, you know, like a hosting solution, third party hosting. And then I would build a website around that. I don't know that I would build my own host. There are enough of them out there. Props to Colby for trying. I don't know what our server fees are. I've never asked. I will continue to not do so.
Our every year of our domain costs like $90 more than I've ever paid for server hosting.
By the way,
like the website is free and then the actual files are on Amazon somewhere and that stuff is like I pay for those files and also like all of my computer backups through like that Arc program, and it costs like $2 a month.
Wait, this is all okay. Hosted on your AWS account now?
The episode files are like
files are
right.
So could I delete my AWS account that I get billed 99 cents every month for the past 10 years for.
Well, is there anything good on it?
Well, the price has never gone up. It's 99 cents every month.
Ours, so mine varies month to month, I assume based on how many people are listening to the podcast. I'm pretty sure it's on mine. You could maybe, Dan, you could try disabling it or something if there's some way to do that, and we'll see if it stops working. But I'm pretty sure it's on mine.
Well, very carefully not log into the Work AWS account.
Yeah, don't delete that. By the way, I will tell you that for some stupid reason I'm still paying for changemo.de. That's auto renewing every year and I forget about it.
Classic.
Same with gamenights.tv.
I don't think I've ever unsubscribed from a domain. Like, I own every domain that I've ever purchased.
You've never. Well, changemo.de forwards to don'tpanic.io, so it's for marketing.
Stupid. But in any case, hosting the website costs an extremely small amount of money. If you're doing the stuff yourself, it costs like $0. As opposed to like Squarespace or something that costs like money.
Well, and that's what's kind of interesting. And talking to my coworkers who've built with it, I forget what app it was, but he needed like another source of third-party data. And so then he asked ChatGPT how to connect these things, found him whatever, I don't know, location data or whatever data he needed, plugged it into Love. Like he's using all these different tools to kind of like get the answer and plug into one another. And it's pretty wild. So I in doing this, I feel confident that if you gave me time, I could like build a podcast website and figure it out. To me, the exciting thing would be websites are one thing. I'm very curious how this thing does mobile apps.
Oh,
yeah. It said, well, what's the link to our website? It said it was responsive, right?
Because I'm, I, the, websites are obviously a very different UX than like a mobile app. And so I'm very curious how it, like building kind of an HTML-y website, great, fine, it's got pages and all that. But I'm curious how I wish I had an app idea because I would love to try that. And see if I could use camera and GPS and some of the other phone features.
Is there any of these things that will make you a mobile app?
Lovable, I think, does a mobile app, doesn't it?
I don't know.
Let's see.
No, maybe it only does websites. The other cool thing is they have a database of like already built websites from other people, which would be curious to dig around in. Oh, it says create apps and websites.
Yeah, but do they mean mobile apps or are they just describing?
Do you build iOS apps? Let's just go right to the source. Oh, they're asking me to upgrade to even answer that question. Never mind.
Wow. Okay. I finally got into my AWS account.
No, Lovable does not do like organic iOS apps. You can turn your web app into a mobile app separately, but not with Lovable.
Wow. I only have one Don't Panic episode in my account.
That's probably the best one. Which one?
Episode 93, apparently.
Oh, that one's my favorite.
91, sorry. In a folder called 94 for some reason, which is...
Yeah, there are a bunch of AI app builders. Claude says they'll do it.
Well, yeah, but Claude is a bit more low level.
True.
It would
but
be
I'm a
low level
guy.
That's true.
Sean Jennings.
You get down and dirty. I've seen you wield a power drill.
They need like a Fisher Price like app builder AI for like children. And I would do that.
I would love to see the conclusion of this and what you actually came up with. And if you and the AI got stuck or not.
Because
what you were proposing doing as next steps, Sean, was pretty sophisticated. Like scraping and then doing like a backfill. And like you probably would have like, well, I don't know, want to prejudice things, but you have to have some way to store the data. Would you be able like to tell it, or would the AI eventually just be like, oh, Sean needs to store data, I'm just gonna store it for him?
Well, like I said, what I would do is I'd probably just create like a Spotify hosting account through Spotify and dump all the files into it. But even that would be massively time consuming because you can't really automate that.
That's a good, because you were saying earlier I don't know what to use it for. I've found that I need to recalibrate my sense of what is important enough to even do. And I have it do incredibly stupid things like that, right? How many episodes do we have?
This is 406.
406, 406. Not that many. Like if you had to move them over by hand, you could probably do it in a day. Way less time than it would take you to figure out how Python works or whatever to script it up, right? But with an AI, like write me a Python script that moves this thing over, and in like 30 seconds, you'd end up with something that probably doesn't work, but probably kind of works. And then be like, hey, it says, you know, 403 unauthorized. How do I fix that? Like, oh, you need to add your API key. Like, okay. Stuff like that.
Well, listen, I'll make you a deal.
Okay.
To be honest, I am not afraid to AI code a website. I'm kind of afraid to AI code the Don't Panic website.
Too high stakes.
Well, yes. And it's also like, and again, no disrespect to Colby, I don't know what the back end of the current site looks like and how everything's jerry-rigged and like messing with all the files that are already on there and all this. No, I'm sure. Listen, it's only the sixth one you built. So
we're getting pretty good at it at this point.
And listen, it's been up and running. I've got no complaints. I like the site. I use it. I think it's a winner. You can't improve on perfection. But what I'm thinking is if we come up with an idea for a website, I will spend as much time as I need to. You guys come up with a challenge for me. And I will build. I will use AI. I will update on the show. And I will build something.
Okay.
But I don't want to do it with 400 episodes because I am worried about getting it to bring them all in, and it concerns me.
Okay. Sure.
But you can give me a challenge. I'm up for it.
I've always wanted to build a website that is like Foursquare, but it's just for Dunkin' Donuts so you can rate and review Dunkin' Donuts in order to find, you know, the correct.
I'm not joking. I will do that. And you can score it on specific Dunkin' Donuts things?
Yes, probably specific Dunkin' Donut things and also what you order. Like, I think that's an important component of the equation.
And then you can filter to, like, certain orders and see if they did a good job.
Right, right. Like, if you just want a coffee, who cares if they make bad breakfast sandwiches? It doesn't matter. You just need a coffee.
All right, I'll make you a deal. I will come back on our next episode. And I will, because we got to do it stage by stage. Can't do it all in one day. I will bring a plan outline of features and ideas on how this app is going to work. And we can brainstorm. You can help me improve it.
Now, after that, are you going to be generating this outline or is an AI going to generate it?
AI will be involved at every step.
Okay.
I want to be clear. I'm building this with AI. That's the point. Now, I have some ideas. But the first question I'm going to say is, if Dunkin' Donuts were an app, what would it be? And see what it says. And over the next, you know, 6 months or whatever on these episodes, we'll build it more and more until we have a working Dunkin' Donuts Foursquare review app.
Excellent. Excellent.
This, and then we'll be rich. We'll be rich. This is great. No, listen, there are, because I get them in my like Facebook algorithm. They're like Dunkin' Donuts Facebook groups of true fucking lunatics, like who every single day like take a picture like I'm at Dunkin' today and like post it in the group, and everyone's like, good for you. Like, it's, they're crazy. So there's a market.
I think there is. That's why I always wanted to do it, but it probably exists already. But you know,
not that an idea that good, I don't know. No, I'm excited. This will be great. Good. Well, we got a project. I'm going to go figure out how to do that. In the meantime, anything else on your guys' mind for this evening as we come upon our conclusion?
This was a wildly successful episode, I think.
Oh, my God. What a hoot. What a hoot. So great being back with you guys. This is fun. We'll continue to try our best to do this. In the meantime, if not enough Don't Panic in your life, we've got some other great programs you might enjoy, including Up for Debate, which has also been on a mini hiatus because scheduling is hard when you're old and an adult. But Matt and I are going through 2000s movies. We're having a lot of fun. What was the last episode we even did? I don't even remember what movies we talked about. Our next episode we're taping is drama movies. I had to watch Twilight. And it wasn't good. It wasn't bad. It was odd. It looks like it was made for about $25. Like, it just is strange that like this was a major motion picture.
That was like, I've only ever watched Twilight in like waiting rooms, but like that was my impression too. It's like, why does this look so bad?
it was very popular. I busted a gut laughing. There's a shot where he like, you know, because he runs really fast because he's a vampire, and they have this shot where from his legs down it's blocked because they couldn't afford the CGI. So it's just his torso like with rocks blocking it. It just goes shoo, across the screen. It's so funny. It was a very amusing movie. So
couldn't afford that, CGI legs.
No, and honestly, it looks like it was made for $5. No, we got that. We're doing The Terminal, which is,
hey, listen,
again,
even Mark Zuckerberg couldn't afford CGI legs. So
No, we never did get our legs, did we? We got glasses instead. So that's coming up. So upfordebate.tv, check that out. And of course, I will always plug what Matt's up to over at Tomorrow Is Canceled. They've had a couple episodes come out recently. It's a great show. I actually do enjoy it. If you're into video games, anime, that sort of thing, it's a great discussion. And Matt is streaming over at twitch.tv/TomorrowIsCanceledPod every Tuesday. It's a great stream. It's a lot of fun. If you're around, I'm usually in the chat. I recommend you check it out. But I think it's all we got here. Go visit our current wonderful website at don'tpanic.io. All the episodes are there, the audio, the video, information on subscribing, as well as past picks. It's chock full of good stuff. And of course, you can follow us at Don't Panic Show and get a hold of us, don'tpanicshow@gmail.com. We're done here. But we appreciate everyone joining us on this super fun episode. We're going to see you next time. On behalf of Colby and Dan, I'm Sean. We appreciate you being here. We'll see you next time on another Don't Panic.